Hello and welcome to the Powerful Business Talk podcast with JT Fox and myself, Francie Baldwin. Clearly, I am not JT Fox. If you are keeping up with our podcast, if you listen to episode 7, you will know that JT did episode 7 by himself. So I'm doing episode 8 by myself, mix it up a little bit, and then we'll probably be back together for episode number 9. What the Powerful Business Talk podcast is, if you have not listened before, we discuss topics that are in the news, hot topics, and instead of just discussing what's being put out in the news, we talk about both sides, maybe what the media is not talking about or what kind of both sides to the story. So then you can make your own decision on is it good, bad, right, wrong, different. Nobody's ever right or wrong when they are forming an opinion, as long as an opinion is based on facts and you have all the opinions and all sides of the truth, because nothing is more powerful than the truth. So normally JT Fox and I co-host this podcast together. JT Fox is world's number one business coach, speaker coach, sales coach, entrepreneur, and I am his partner in crime, so to speak, the CEO of his companies, marketing maverick, I guess I would say. And normally we do this together, kind of share our different opinions that we bring to the table. But today you're just getting me. So if for some reason you don't like JT, well, this is the great, perfect episode for you to listen to and give us some feedback. So if you listen to episode 7, I'm going to talk about some of the same topics that JT talked about in episode 7. If you didn't listen to episode 7, that's fine. I'm going to talk about some different topics as well. So the first one I want to talk about is McDonald's. So McDonald's, I don't know if you have heard, if you didn't listen to the last podcast, I'll recap a little bit for you. But McDonald's, the CEO is being, former McDonald's CEO is basically being ousted over having a relationship with a coworker. Or I guess you're the CEO, so it doesn't really matter. One way or another, it's a subordinate coworker. Now, this was a consensual relationship, but McDonald's is ousting him. So, you know, there is the side that, you know, I know a lot of people that would say, you know, most coworkers end up dating one another because that's, you spend more time pretty much at work than you spend with any other group of people. So it kind of just inherently makes sense. Now, the other side of this, he is the CEO. So pretty much it doesn't matter. Anyone in the company would be subordinate to you. And there is the varying views that someone that's subordinate to you, you know, shouldn't have a relationship with that individual. Now, you know, the people that do feel this was consensual, there wasn't, you know, this was a relationship. This is not any type of, you know, there's no any Me Too type claims or anything appropriate that was going on or anything like that. But what I do think is interesting, and, you know, frankly, I think that this guy's kind of coming out on top, considering he was given a cash severance of $700,000. Okay. So you were in a relationship, McDonald's, you know, the board doesn't like it. You are ousted, $700,000 as a severance, and he stands to pocket about $70 million, that's 70 million worth of stocks and options as part of being ousted from the company. So what I think is really interesting is here you have this guy who, CEO of McDonald's, obviously he makes a lot of money and does well for himself, has a consensual relationship, and, you know, everyone's talking about him being ousted. Personally, I don't feel so bad for him. I mean, I think it's probably worked out pretty well for him. He's walking away with $700,000 cash and stands to have about $70 million and cash out from stock options. So whether you think he shouldn't have or should have had the relationship or not, obviously you can, you know, form your opinion on that. I do think it is a little challenging sometimes because you spend more time with the people you work with. I'm not saying you need to be in a relationship with the people you work with, but, you know, a lot of times that's what happens. And I personally think as long as it is not a direct report situation, that there shouldn't be issues. Now, I work in a company because, you know, I'm the CEO of JT's companies, JT's former CEO, his wife, his children, his friends, all worked for the company, and a lot of them were in direct report situations to him. And so I know from experience where it's not always the best. You kind of sometimes create some animosity because it seems like certain people are getting special treatment. So I do think not even just relationships, but even if you hire friends or things like that, it shouldn't be in direct report situations because people are always going to think that somebody's being treated unfairly, or there's kind of like a misbalance of power, if you will. So those are my thoughts on McDonald's. But again, I definitely do not feel bad for the man walking away with millions of dollars. So not too shabby. Second topic I wanted to talk about is WeChat. So WeChat is actually rolling out a feature, and I think this is a great feature, where they're going to new privacy settings, okay? WeChat, which if you don't know, WeChat is, not WeChat, WhatsApp. WhatsApp is rolling out new privacy settings. If you don't know, WhatsApp is owned by Facebook, so they're all kind of part of the same family, if you will. And they're rolling out some new privacy settings that will make it so people can't just automatically add you to group chats without your permission. Now, I think this is interesting because a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if anyone even noticed. If you're an Instagram follower, you probably did notice, but Instagram rolled out a feature where you could no longer, I think it was called the follow tab, where you could no longer see people you were following. You could no longer see people that they followed or the pictures that they liked. And Instagram put out a statement. Again, Instagram, WhatsApp, both owned by Facebook. Instagram put out a statement that they were basically doing away with that feature because nobody was using it. Now WhatsApp's rolling out some, you know, where people can't automatically add you to groups, saying, you know, that they don't want people to add you to groups. Now, I think there's two different things going on here. Personally, I think this is Facebook rolling out more privacy and security settings. Obviously, we know Facebook under a lot of scrutiny. Basically, it's been a couple of years now, but since the whole Cambridge Analytica thing first came out, and over the past year, Facebook, you know, with the Russian hacking and the elections and all this stuff, there's been a lot of Facebook's kind of been under a microscope, and these are Facebook-owned companies. So I think there could be two things going on, that they're rolling out different ways to kind of watch their privacy and security. Personally, I love this new feature, or I'm excited for this to roll out on WhatsApp, because it is my least favorite thing when I get WhatsApps from strange numbers that I don't know, and they're trying to like market to me or sell me something. It drives me crazy because I don't know who these people are. I don't know how they got my phone number. So I think that it's a good setting. I also think that this is actually a precursor potentially for WhatsApp to look at rolling out some different marketing or advertising features. So they've been testing some different things with in kind of like different areas where you can actually market and advertise on WhatsApp. And I think that being able to not just add people to a group is them kind of laying the groundwork to be able to have more control to potentially make people want to advertise versus creating their own groups and trying to do their own marketing through WhatsApp. So that's what I kind of think they're setting the groundwork for. The new privacy's started rolling out on November 3rd, so this is like brand new on WhatsApp, but I think this is actually a precursor to how they're going to try and have more control over the platform and do some monetization. I think also it is a privacy issue, just like I think the changes on Instagram, even though they didn't claim anything with privacy, I think it's so that you can't stalk other users as much. So I think that is, that's kind of what is going on there. And I think it's smart. Facebook obviously has done a great job monetizing their platform. They've started to do, a lot more monetization on Instagram. A lot more people are advertising on Instagram. So I think that's really smart. Now I think they're looking, Messenger. They do have advertising on Facebook Messenger. And I think WhatsApp that's going to be the next platform they're going to be looking to monetize marketing and advertising. Now, if you are someone that is doing a lot of these Facebook groups, these WhatsApp groups where you're sending out messages and trying to market to people, know that that is probably going away. So you may need to be looking for how you can change that a little bit. It is something in the settings where people can go and say, who can add me to groups? Everyone can, only my contacts or my contacts with the exception of certain people. So if that is how you market to people right now, you need a new strategy because that is rolling out. So that is something to be looking at. Next topic I want to talk about, which this is another one JT did not talk about on episode 7, but I thought it would be worth discussing because it's been kind of everywhere in the news and we've discussed it before. Jeffrey Epstein. Those of you that don't know who Jeffrey Epstein is, he was basically in jail and, under a lot of different charges for underage sexual activities, sex trafficking. It was just a lot. He had this whole island where people would allegedly go to, where they raided this island, where allegedly some of the girls were underage, prostitution, all of this type of stuff that he was accused of. He was in jail. He allegedly, and why I say allegedly is this is what has been, a lot of people have been talking about recently, is he allegedly had committed suicide while he was in jail. And now people are starting to say that they don't think he committed suicide. They think that he was actually allegedly now murdered. What people are talking about now, which I think is interesting, is that he was in jail. Obviously, this man, be it legally or illegally, had a lot of money and was a very powerful individual and, goes into jail, under charges. And what people are claiming is that he basically, went in and could have given up all the other powerful, influential people that had utilized his services, had come to his island to, participate in whatever activities happened there, and that he was potentially going to either give up that list or turn on people or start, putting stuff out there for, kind of the world to hear or see. So, saying that maybe what actually happened is, that word got out and that he did not actually kill himself in prison, that somebody actually had him murdered. So, that's kind of been something that people have been talking about. Different like celebrities and athletes and stuff have been randomly doing interviews, and at the end of interview, televised interviews, been saying like Epstein didn't kill himself, and it's kind of been this thing that a lot of people are talking about and rumoring about. Now, will we probably ever know what really happened? No, we won't. We'll have no idea. because how would we, right? If something happened and somebody wanted to cover it up, it would probably stay covered up. I doubt anyone's going to really go digging around if that is what happened. But it is interesting to think that the most powerful people with all of the money can kind of have control and will do whatever it takes to kind of protect themselves. Now, on the flip side, this could 100% be a conspiracy theory, because there is always people that want to have the conspiracy theory, and he may have just been in jail, been like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to end up spending the rest of my life in jail, and I don't want to do this. And he may have just killed himself. So I think it's interesting, though, how it came out, you know, that he's killed himself. A lot of major media, this is the other interesting part, is not talking about how potentially maybe he did not commit suicide, but somebody killed him. So conspiracy theory, non-conspiracy theory, no idea, but it is interesting to think about, because you can almost rationalize and make it work out either way, which is pretty interesting. Next topic I wanted to talk about is WeWork. So WeWork, feel like we talk about WeWork on almost every single podcast, because why wouldn't we talk about WeWork on every single podcast? Because really, this is the undercover WeWork podcast. So SoftBank is now writing down $5 billion minimum for WeWork and other losses, which I think is interesting. You know, WeWork, I think every week we end up talking about WeWork, because it was this company that had so much potential and was just so overvalued. And it's interesting too, because now the Japanese conglomerate is offering $9.5 billion with the B, lifeline to WeWork to take control of the company, and they are now valued at $8 billion. So they're still valued in the billions, which is just crazy to me when you actually think about their infrastructure, how much cash layout they have, and you know, what the kind of everything that, you know, the long-term leases they have and all of the cash that they're putting out there. And I know we talk about WeWork all like every week, and there's always different like ways that we talk about it. One of the biggest business lessons, I think, and JT talks about this all the time, and I agree with him, is you really have to look at it as more of a, if you're getting into a business, like, how much cash is it going to take me? How much money am I going to need to actually make this work? And how do I make the money back? And when do I make the money back? I think the way I look at WeWork, and I mean, Uber being non-profitable, kind of the same thing, you know, WeWork, great concept. You know, there's a lot of competition and it's very easy to replicate. That's kind of, I think, a downfall of WeWork. Where I live in Florida, we actually don't have a WeWork right where I live, right in the downtown area, but I think WeWork is moving in. But we have 8 other office sharing opportunities, and I've visited almost all of the different, you know, co-working office space sharing places, got prices and quotes when I was considering office space there, and they're all highly competitive. They all offer almost the exact same things, and it really just comes down to like, which color scheme do you like better? Because one might be gray and yellow, and one might be more like blue and orange. Like, it really, that's the biggest differences, is like the color scheme that the place is painted. So I think when you look at, you know, what's it going to take you and how many people are going to copy you, right? And all the non-WeWorks are usually a little bit less expensive than the WeWorks. So I think that's something that it blows my mind, is how they continue. I mean, they're losing money and their valuation has dropped dramatically dropped. But how, you know, how easy it is to actually turn around and copy this exact, like, copy the formula and do it probably a little bit less expensively. Because when you're doing it locally in one area, right, the other issue with WeWork is they've outlaid all these really long leases and all these different office buildings all over the world. So I think it's interesting, and I think the lesson to learn with WeWork and a lot of these companies is you gotta really know your numbers. Now, listen, being valued at $8 billion, that's still really, really great, and I'm still shocked at how high of a valuation that they have. And you gotta know, even though WeWork's valued at $8 billion, how many other companies are out there trying to be the WeWork valued at $8 billion, and they just won't be. So I think that's that's very interesting as well. So those were some of my topics I wanted to talk about. One last topic I did want to talk about. Now, I've had this for a couple weeks from when JT and I were actually in Japan. They were interviewing, because the Summer Olympics are actually in Japan, in Tokyo, coming up in June of 2020. And they were, while we were there on TV, there was one channel that basically had English. So that was the TV channel that I watched. And they were interviewing Roger Federer and asking him if he was going to be participating in the Olympics. Arguably the most decorated, probably one of the most successful tennis champions in the world. Also done ridiculously well on endorsement deals and everything. So when it comes to tennis, I would argue that Roger Federer is probably like the name. He is a little bit older. He, has had some injuries and things throughout his career. And they were asking him, are you going to go to the Olympics? So one of the most decorated tennis players, has won pretty much every and any major tennis tournament, probably even more than once, really. And my thing was, do you go out on top? Like, do you just say, because he was saying he's slowing his schedule back. He's not going to play in nearly the number of tournaments anymore. He's only going to pick a handful every year. And he just wants to spend time with his family, and he's getting older. And, he has some injuries. So do you go to the Olympics, or do you just kind of say, I'm going to pass? And I think it was interesting because he is gonna, his plan is to play in the Olympics, and he does want to go for the gold. But it is always interesting to me, at what point do you decide to say, I've had a great career, and this is where I need to just kind of go out on top, versus saying, yep, I'm gonna go for it one more time. And at some point, especially athletes, but I think it can happen with anyone, with business owners, entrepreneurs, speakers, anyone, where at what point are you not on top anymore, and then you can't go out on top because there's people that are younger, that are smarter, that are faster, that are, just have more ambition, have more drive, can push harder. And at what point do you lose your opportunity and lose the control to go out on top? And I guess the question would be, right, this isn't like a crazy news story or anything, but do you choose when you are done with something and move on to the next thing? Or do you wait until you get pushed out because you're no longer the fastest, smartest, best alternative? Or do you decide when you're going to adapt and change before the market or someone else can dictate that for you? So that is the last kind of thing or thought I want to leave you with. And thank you for joining me on my solo episode number 8 of the Powerful Biz Talk podcast with JT Fox, even though today is without JT Fox. You don't forget to follow the podcast, leave us a comment, give us 5 stars, give us a great rating, give us feedback, and we will see you next time, probably JT and Francie back together for episode number 9 of the Powerful Business Talk. And remember that nothing is more powerful than the truth.